Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 3rd, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, faces and places. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I've got a little iPhoto 09 to talk about today. And the reason why is because there are two great new features in this application that everyone gets that buys a Mac. If you buy a Mac, you have iPhoto. If you buy a new Mac, you have iPhoto 09. And you can upgrade your old iPhoto, or your old iLife, that is, for $79. So if you have like a version that's a couple years old, pay $79 and you can update and get all the latest new features. And the new features, two in particular, are really worth talking about. I have just spent a whole week working with faces and places, primarily, because I was recording training videos for lynda.com on both of these. Now, those training videos will be out in probably late March 09, and I'll post a link on the Digital Story when they're up, because you're going to want to take a look at them. They're fun. We did a lot of new stuff, and in part, we did new stuff because we were inspired by the new stuff that was in the software. So you know how that is. You get inspired, and then it pushes you to try new things, and then someone else gets an idea, and the whole thing snowballs in a very good way. And that's what happened with this iPhoto 09 title. One focuses on faces, another one focuses on places, and then I even did one on Flickr. So, but today we're going to stay focused on faces and on places. Let's start with faces. So what iPhoto 09 has, it has face detection and face recognition added to the application. Now, face detection we're somewhat familiar with because we have that in most of our digital cameras these days. All the compacts pretty much within the last year have face detection, so that when you point the camera at a scene, and if there are faces in it, recognizable faces, which means they're looking at the camera, then the camera detects those faces and sets the exposure and focus for either the one face or for multiple faces even. And it works great. It was one of those things that when I heard about it, announced at PMA actually, I think 2 years ago, you go, sounds like a gimmick, but you know what? It works really well and I like it. So now what iPhoto has done, it has brought that face detection to the software. So you upload photos or you have an existing library. iPhoto can go through it and say, oh, there's a face, there's a face, there's a face. And then basically ask you, do you want to label this face? I found a face. Do you want to add a label to it? If you do, now you're rolling into the second part of the technology, which is the face recognition. So let's say that you have a man's face appears and you say, yes, I want to label that face. So you label it Bob. So then iPhoto remembers those features and then it looks for other photos that have those features and it goes, is this Bob? Is this Bob? And it's very easy. It's very easy to confirm these. So you confirm, and then it gets smarter. It gets to know Bob better because, you know, Bob doesn't always look exactly the same, but he has certain features that don't change that much. So by the second or third confirmation, then iPhoto is really smart. It really knows Bob. Bob and iPhoto have become best friends. So this is the face recognition part. So you do this for the, you know, the folks in your library that are important to you, or the folks that you want to know about, friends, family, stuff like that, so that whenever you want to see all the pictures of Bob, Then all you have to do is click on Bob's face on the corkboard. iPhoto creates this nice little corkboard motif, and everyone that you've identified shows up on the corkboard. So then you click on that corkboard and click on Bob's picture, and then everything, all the Bobs, show up on your screen. And it's very cool. So then you can say, you know, I need a picture of Bob for this or for that. You click on it, you see all the Bobs, you pick the Bob you want, and you go about your business. One of the nifty features that iPhoto has added is that if you take that snapshot on the corkboard of Bob, which is sort of like the Bob icon, the Bob key photo. And you can change that, by the way, as you scroll through all the Bob photos. You know, you move your mouse around on that snapshot on the corkboard, and it scrubs through all the Bob photos. If you want a different Bob photo to be the key photo, when it comes up, all you have to do is hit the space bar, and then iPhoto will remember that, and then that becomes the new Bob key photo. But what's also fun is that if you drag that snapshot of Bob on the corkboard over to the library pane on the left there, iPhoto will create a smart album for Bob. Now, what's great about a smart album is, of course, all the pictures that you've identified so far will be in there. So that's great. But a smart album takes it a step further. Then any picture in the future that you identify as Bob will be automatically added to the smart album. So the smart album continues to populate over time. It's not just what you've done to that point. It will also include anything that you do in the future. And smart albums are wonderful. I love them. We use them for all sorts of stuff. But having this very easy, where you just drag Bob's snapshot off the corkboard over to the library pane and automatically creates a Bob smart album, it couldn't be easier. And it's a very, very useful tool. Now, there's been some discussion online if this face detection, face recognition can work with pets. And there's been a little going back and forth. It doesn't work with dogs, but it does work with cats, yada, yada, yada. So we tested this. We tested this at lynda.com when I was doing this title. One of the movies that we did was for pets. And so I pulled up, I think, three or four different dogs, three or four different cats, otters, horses, I think some other sort of creature. Not your everyday, you know, sort of pet, unless you're over at, you know, Michael Jackson's place. And iPhoto could not detect any of them. All different types of faces, all different types of angles. I got absolutely nothing. I got zero. So my point of view on this, based on my testing, and you can watch this movie when it's published on lynda.com. In fact, I'll try to make it be one of the free movies. My thing is that it doesn't work with pets at all. Don't even think about it. Don't get your hopes up. Face detection and face recognition in iPhoto 09 is for people and not pets. Now, probably as I speak right now, someone is working on face detection for animals, and that would be great. But at the moment, we don't have it. So that part of your family cannot be used in iPhoto 09. We got to stick to the non-furry members of the clan. Just a few other tricks with faces, and then I'll move on to places. While you're at the corkboard, there's a couple things you can do. One is you can actually drag the snapshots around on the corkboard and reposition them. So you're not stuck with the default order that iPhoto creates for you. Be careful, though, when you're dragging over another shot, that you don't stop when you let go of the mouse until you're clear of that shot. If you do that, then actually what you're doing is the merge command, and you will merge the two, both the one that you're dragging and the one that you drag on top of, which you don't want to do. If you accidentally do that, do the undo right away. Don't do anything else. Just stop, undo, and you'll be okay. So dragging one on top of the other merges them, and you don't want that, because then basically you lose all the work that you've done for both of those people. Another thing is, while you're scrubbing through the pictures of the snapshots there, when you're just dragging your mouse around, if you hit the Option key, you'll get the full version of the shot. What Faces does, and this is very convenient, is that it gives you an enlarged version of each person as you scrub through, so you can really see their face. So they might be just part of a scene or a group shot or something, but when you look at the corkboard and you're scrubbing through it, you're going to see a close-up of their face. If you want to see the context of that photo, just hold down the Option key, and iPhoto will zoom back out so that you can see the whole photo. Take your finger off the Option key, and then you're back zoomed in to the face. So again, another sort of nice handy tip that makes it easier while you're working with this technology. The last thing I want to mention about faces is that iPhoto is creating a database that manages this. So if you actually embrace faces and you start using it and you're building a library, which I think is time well spent, because suddenly, for instance, you know those slideshows that we always see at wedding receptions of, you know, the couple when they're little kids and through their teen years and all that sort of stuff? Imagine if you had an iPhoto library with a whole lot of family stuff in it, and you use faces to organize it, then suddenly slideshows and projects like that are so easy, because you can just click on the person's snapshot and you can find them, you can combine them, you can create a smart album that says pull all the faces of Joe, pull all the faces of Sally, and put them in a smart album. That's very handy. There's all sorts of stuff you can do. So I think it's good technology. But you can end up putting in a fair amount of work to this. So inside your iPhoto library, and this is a package now. It's not something that you can just double-click on. If you double-click on it, all you do is launch iPhoto and launch that library. But if you hold down the Control key so that you get Show Package Contents, when you click on your iPhoto library in your Pictures folder, then you can take a look inside of that package. And there are two files that you want to look for. They're both labeled Faces. One's a Faces database, and I forget what the other one's, the Faces something else. Two files. If you hold down the Option key and you drag both of those files out to your desktop or put them in a folder or something, that's the actual database that holds all the work that you've done so far. So you can put that on a CD, you can put it on an external drive, you can do something with it, you can back it up so that all your work is backed up. So it's not just your pictures. You know, you have a method already for backing up your pictures. But if you want to back up your work, it's that those two Faces database files that are inside that package. Now, while you're inside that package, don't do anything else. This is not a place to muck around. You start mucking around in there, you could totally crash your iPhoto library. And don't send me mail if you do that, because I told you not to. All you're going to do is you're going to go in there, you're just going to find those two Faces files, you're going to hold down the Option key, you're going to drag them out, and all that does is make a copy as you drag. That's what holding down the Option key does. And then you're going to close that iPhoto library, and you're going to pretend like you never were in there at all. Okay, you've done your thing. Okay, so that's places. I mean Faces. I like it a lot. It's a lot of fun. Now I do want to talk about Places also, and Places allows you to add geotags to your photos that are in your iPhoto library, or if you bring in photos that are already geotagged, iPhoto recognizes them, and you can plot them on a map and do all sorts of fun things. And in fact, any photo in iPhoto that has geotags, whether you added it inside of iPhoto or they came in that way, when you click on the little eye on the photo thumbnail, a panel appears, and you get some basic information where you get to put the, you know, the name of the photo and the description and the rating and stuff. But you'll automatically get a map with a pin on it, and that pin represents where that photo was taken. So every photo, then, you know the location of it just by clicking on the info button, and it's revealed right away. And then if you do the extended photo info, which is new in iPhoto 09, and you get that by holding down the Option Command I keys, three of them, Option Command I, that gives you extended photo info. When you're looking in there, you see more metadata, including the latitude and the longitude, and then also the sequence of places that iPhoto has added to that image. And this is what I like about places in iPhoto 09, is that not only does it add the latitude and longitude, but then it adds basically three more English tags or whatever language you're working in. It'll add the country, it'll add the state, and it'll add the city based on those latitude and longitude readings. This is important because now this becomes another way that you can sort your photos. If you go into the places dialog in iPhoto, you know, there in the library pane on the left, you'll have now events, you'll have pictures, you'll have places, and you'll have faces. If you click on places, and all, your whole library, now you can search your whole library, you get a little text browser at the top that starts with country on the left and works its way down in columns to actual locations. So the country column, state column, city column, and then an actual location. So then you're looking at your whole library and you go, I want to find all the shots from San Francisco that I have in my library, at least the ones that are tagged. In that column, you just click on the word San Francisco, right? So it'll be USA, California, San Francisco. Click on San Francisco, and places will pull together all of the shots that have been geotagged San Francisco. So just like in faces, you can search on Bob, right? And all the Bob photos come up. You can do the same thing with places. And this is very handy. And I like places a lot. So sometimes I shoot where I do geotagging outside of iPhoto. I've talked about the Jobo Photo GPS, which I like, which records the geodata while I'm shooting. I marry them together and then I import the photos into Aperture iPhoto. I've also talked about the iFi Explore, that when you're in areas that have hotspots and those hotspots have been geotagged by Skyhook. Skyhook is, of course, the entity that goes around and keeps track of where all the hotspots are located, creates a database that you can use to tag your photos. So you bring that in, photos tagged by that, places recognizes them. Or if you're in iPhoto and you don't have anything geotagged, you don't have a batch of pictures geotagged, you can click on them and add a place to it. And iPhoto will add both the latitude and the longitude and this other information that I mentioned, this country, state, and city. Now, this is where I think it gets a little interesting. I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is, if you have a photo that you've added geotags in iPhoto using places, so now that you have a point on a map where this shot was taken, and you have in the extended photo information, you have latitude and longitude, you can export that photo out. You can export it out of iPhoto, and iPhoto will write the geotags to that image. This is really very interesting. I didn't expect iPhoto to do this, but I was hoping that it would. So then, if I upload that photo to Flickr, then it will have the geo information, which means then Flickr will add a little map link to that photo, and I can click on that map link, and then in Flickr will show where that photo was taken. Here's what you have to do, though. When you're in export in iPhoto, there's a little box you have to check when you're exporting your image out as a JPEG or whatever you're doing there. There's a little box that you have to check that says, you know, include the geolocation data. Make sure you check that box, because then what iPhoto does, it's sort of holding on to your geo information in the database, and you've got your photo in there. When it exports, it'll take your photo, it'll resize it to whatever, you know, parameters you've set up in export, and then it will also bake in the geodata, create a new photo, and put it wherever you say. And this is really nice. That means that you could use iPhoto actually as a geotagging tool. You could bring photos into it that don't have any location information at all, use Places to add the location information, and then export it out and use it at places like Flickr and so forth. So that is a lot of fun. Now, there is one gotcha that I just ran head-on into, and that is iPhoto also has Flickr connectivity built into it. So I'm going, oh, great. So I'll tag photos with Places. And then while I'm right here in iPhoto, I'll click on the Flickr button, send those photos up to Flickr, and then Flickr should display the map link with those photos, right? It didn't. And I tested it, and I tested it, and then I brought in photos that had geotags, and I used the Flickr link, and it worked. And I'm going, what's going on here? Well, what was going on, at least as far as I can tell, is sort of what I was talking about earlier, which is iPhoto keeps the Places information in the database, it appears to me, and associates it with the photo. But it doesn't actually bake it in to the photo until you do some sort of export. Now, what I think they need to do is, with that built-in Flickr connectivity that they have in iPhoto 09, is that you ought to have the option when you send photos up to Flickr directly out of iPhoto to add the geo information that iPhoto already has in its database for that image. But right now it doesn't do it. So what it does is it just sends up the photo without the geo information baked in. Therefore, Flickr doesn't recognize it because there's nothing there. Therefore, you don't get the map link in Flickr. And it's very disappointing. So what you have to do is that you have to go outside of iPhoto to make this work. In other words, you have to export the photos out of iPhoto using the export command. Make sure you check the box to add the geolocation stuff, and then add that photo to Flickr. You can't use the built-in thing. So I'm hoping that will change, but I just want you to be aware of that right now so that you don't run head-on into it and then face the same bitter disappointment that I did in a recording booth, sitting there going, why isn't this working? And of course, we didn't publish those takes, but you can imagine that they were colorful. Okay, so Places is a lot of fun also. I like them both. They both have their strengths and weaknesses, but they're certainly worth playing with. If you have iPhoto 09 on your computer right now, take a look at this stuff. That you can use iPhoto in conjunction with Aperture, for sure. If you're an Aperture user, I just look at iPhoto as a very fancy plugin for Aperture, because I can see all the photos. I maintain all my photos in Aperture, but I can view them from inside of iPhoto. I can look inside my Aperture library and grab anything I want. So certainly, if you have iPhoto 09, take a look at these, if nothing else, to learn about these technologies and to start playing with them because they're so easy to use. If you don't have iPhoto 09 and you're an iPhoto user, I would seriously consider upgrading. It'll cost you $79 for the whole iLife 09 suite. Now, the gotcha is that it needs Leopard to run. So if your whole computer is back a little bit, and let's say you're still running Panther, you're still running Tiger, then you're looking at upgrading the OS too. And I think it might get a little bit more complicated there because you may or may not be ready to upgrade your OS. However, if you're running Leopard and you're an iPhoto user and you haven't upgraded to iPhoto 09 yet or iLife 09, I would look at it. It's really fun. It's really nice. And if you can't do that or you don't want to do that, next time you're at an Apple store or something, go in and take a look at it. Both Faces and Places are very interesting technologies. I think Apple's going to continue to refine them as time goes on here. Through updates, we should see more refinement. For instance, the connectivity between Flickr and iPhoto baking in that geo data. I fully expect to see that before too long. Fingers crossed. So that's going to be it for today as far as that topic. I just want to mention a couple other things. We have a new photo assignment for March. A new photo assignment for March. The photo assignment is, and I'm very excited about this one, Sign of the Times. That's the photo assignment for March, Sign of the Times. I have The last photo assignment, I just published it. The January, you know, the way that we go is I'm usually like one behind. That allows me to talk about the current one when I put it up. So the January photo assignment is on Digital Story right now. You can go take a look at it. And that was about face. Everyone has turned in their photos already for the February assignment, which is street shot. And that's going to be really nice when I publish that later on this month. But the photo assignment for March, the one you should be working on now, is Sign of the Times. And that, you know, the way things are in the world right now, there's all sorts of stuff that you can do with this photo assignment. I think there's going to be some very, very interesting shots. Also want to mention our sponsors, because we have great sponsors. Boinks Software, the makers of both Photomagico for great slideshows on the Mac, and then also they make Boinks TV now, which I'm going to be testing. I'm getting ready to go on a plane to PMA, and I'm going to be testing Boinks TV a little bit on this trip. And that allows you to really create your own broadcast studio right there on your Mac. Red River Paper, the makers of just fabulous paper that's cost less than everyone else's, but the quality is just as good, and sometimes on some of their stocks, such as the Arctic Polar Luster, I think it's better. It's great. So they have a new offer on the site. We put a new tile. They have a free shipping offer that you want to take a look at. Click on that tile. And then SiteGrinder. SiteGrinder works as a plugin for Photoshop and Photoshop Elements on both Mac and Windows, and allows you to design websites in Photoshop and then just hit SiteGrinder, and it'll build a CSS compliant XHTML, all the code in place website, and all you have to do is basically hit a button to create it. You get the design in Photoshop, but you get the wonderful website thanks to SiteGrinder. So I want to thanks to all three of our sponsors. They all have tiles on the Digital Story, and they're great supporters of this endeavor. Okay, well, that's going to do it for me for this week. I'm going to go get on a plane, go to Las Vegas, and see what's happening with PMA. By the time you listen to this, I'll be there, and you'll probably be seeing posts on the Digital Story. Make sure you check it out. Follow me on Twitter if you'd like to see more what's going on a like hour-by-hour sort of basis. And I will see you back here on this podcast next week with lots to talk about. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.